Gimel Maseches Pesachim. I want to first thank Eli Fien from Atlanta, who listens to the shiur online. He sponsors today's shiur. So the Gemara in the bottom of Beis, and Beis, thank you again to Chaim Shrek and Adam Oken for filling in the past few days. So the Gemara begins at the bottom of Beis, and Beis, we're talking about what exactly is the definition of the word or. Is the Masech that begins with or, larba, does or mean the night, or does or mean the day? We, of course, know the answer is it means night. The Gemara goes through a series of proofs whether it means night or day. So the Gemara now is going to bring another three or four proofs that or means night. The Gemara says, again, the end of Beis, and Beis, Mesive Marzucha. Marzucha challenged the following onto the top of Daf Gimel now. Hamapelas or lishmonim ve'echat. So you have to understand what's going on here. This is a sugin maseches krisis. And the Gemara there talks about, the Mishnah there is describing that if a woman, let's say after 80 days, there's a whole process of tum of atara. So after 80 days of a woman who gives birth to a boy, she's tummy for the first 14 days, or rather to a girl 14 days, and then it goes on to 66 days that she's tahor. So that's 80 days total for the process of giving birth to a girl. For the boy, it's 7 days and 33, but we're focused on a girl. So a woman gives birth to a girl, so she's tamei for the first 14 days, and then 66 days, even if she sees dam, it's called dam tohar, she remains tohar. So after 80 days, on the 81st day, she brings a carbon yoledes. Now what happens if, let's say, before she brings the carbon, she gets pregnant again, and then she has a miscarriage, has to bring another carbon? The din is you could bring both carbons, one carbon for two different ledes. But let's say day 81 comes, where she's chayv in a carbon, and then she gets pregnant again and has to bring a second carbon. Those are two separate carbonos. Only if they get subsumed within a total of 80 days. So let's say then day 78, she gets pregnant again, so she's never chayv a carbon, so you could have one carbon cover both ledos. But day 81, once she's chayv in a carbon and then she has another pregnancy, she has to bring two separate carbonos. Now the question is, let's say the night of the 81st, going into the 81st day, you can't bring a carbon until the daytime. But already the 81st night, the dam tohar is over. So now she's, in terms of tum of atara, she's now a new stage of tum of atara. With regards to carbonos, she's not chayv a carbon until the next day. So what happens if she has a, she gets pregnant and has a miscarriage the night of the 81st day? So is that considered part of the previous process or not? So let me just read through the Gemara. We'll read through Rashi. Rashi put everything together. So the Gemara says on the top of Gimel and Alpha, Mapelas or Lishmonim Ve'echad. A woman has a miscarriage on the 80th, the night, or means night. That's the proof why we're bringing this here. The night of the 81st, she has a miscarriage, so it's still part of the previous birth she had. Beishame Potrin Mikarbon. Beishame says she's exempt from bringing a carbon since it wasn't the 81st day when she was actually chayv a carbon. It's only the 81st night, so she's potter from a new carbon, and she could bring one carbon for both of those ledos. Beis Hillel is mechayavim. Beis Hillel says you're chayv because now since the tum of atara is over, once you get to the 81st night, any dam she sees, she will actually become tameh, which indicates it's a new step now. So it would be a separate carbon. That's the machlokas here. Now we don't really need to get involved in the details because we're just concerned with the word or. But the Mishnah goes on to say Amru lehen Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says Beis Shammai Maishna or Shmonim ve'echad miyom Shmonim ve'echad. What's the difference of the night of the 81st versus the day of the 81st? If it's the same in regards to Tumah Vatara, should it not be the same in regard in carbon? In other words, if by the night time already any dam she sees in the 81st night, it's now Tameh, so why would it be different in terms of carbonos? It should be a new carbon as well. That was the response of Beis Hillel. So now, again, without getting involved in any further details, the Gemara says, what's the rai for our question of or? From Beis Hillel's response to Beis Shammai, that he says, Maishna or Shmonim Ve'echad, to miyom shmonim ve'echad, clearly it's contrasting the word or to yom, night to day. So this is yet another proof, shmamina or sahu shmamina, that or refers to nighttime, a furthering the proof of the definition of or la'abarsa. The Gemara now brings another question or another proof, meisive. Yachal, again a different topic regarding karbanos, yachal ye nechal or l'shlishi. So there's a din by karbanos that when it comes to a karban chatas, a karban chatas is a person who violates naveira. So he brings a karban chatas, such as eating chalev or violating Shabbos. He eats eats the first night and the next day. One night, one day. When it comes to karban shlomim, the din is you get 2 days. 2 days, but you don't get 2 nights. The Gemara is going to say, wait a second. If a karban chatas can be eaten in the night and the day, there's the one night, one day, that should be the ratio should be the same. So shlomim shows to be 2 days and 2 nights. But the din is, we actually only have the shlomim a day, a night, and another day. It's only 2 days and 1 night. What about that second night? So the Gemara says, Yachal, one would have thought, Yehei Nechal or Shlishlishi, he should be able to eat the night going to the third day. Now, you can't eat the third day, but should at least be 2 days and then 2 nights. That second night is going to be the night into the third day. So why isn't that not the case? So the Gemara says, V'dinuin, it makes sense to say this, because Zvachim Nechalim Liyom Echad, a normal karbanos, a typical karbanos achatas, is eaten for 1 day, and Shlamim is Nechalim Lishnayamim, and Shlamim are eaten for 2 days. So Mala Halan La'ayla Ech Achar Yom, just like by achatas, regular karbanos, the night follows the day, meaning you eat the achatas the day you bring it, and the night afterwards. So too, I would have thought, Afkan Laila Achar Yom. By Shlomim, it should be the night after 2 days. It should be 2 days and then 2 nights. The night into the third day should be the last time we should be able to eat the Shlomim. Tamalom, where the Pasuk says, B'yom Zvachachem Yochalmi Macharas Vanoser Ad Yom. B'yom, only the daytime when you bring it, when you shech the animal, you eat it. And the next day, the Macharas, you eat a day and the second day for 2 days for Shlomim. Vanosa again ad yom, and then the leftover is the following day, and the third day is when you burn whatever's left over from the shlamim. So the Gemara says, Biyom, be'od yom hu nechal, ve'no nechal la'or shlishi. You only eat it during the daytime, but you can't eat it at the nighttime. So it's a mefurish pasuk that we don't apply this svara, and you cannot eat it the night after 2 days of shlamim. So Gemara says, okay. So if you can't eat it again, let's talk about days of the week. Let's say you bring the carbon shlamim on a Sunday, so you eat it Sunday night and Monday. Monday night, you cannot eat it Monday night. Only 2 days in a night, but you cannot eat it Monday night. And the Gemara said, okay, well, if you can't eat it Monday night, one might think, Yachal Yisarif Miyad. You should burn it right away. Monday night, you should burn it. Because if you can't eat it anymore, why just leave it around? Burn it Monday night. The Gemara said, Vidinu, and it makes sense to burn it Monday night. Because Zvachim Nechalim Liyom Vilayla Echad, a regular Zevach, a carbon chatas, is eaten a day. And the night afterwards is eaten. So Sunday night you could eat the carbon chatas. And shlamim is also nechal and l'shayamim v'layla echad. And shlamim is eaten 2 days and 1 night. The shlamim could be eaten through Monday. So the Gemara says, just like malahalon, just like by the chatas, tekef l'achilo shreifa, the moment you can't eat it anymore is when you burn it. So by chatas, you eat it Sunday, and you can eat it Sunday night. When do you burn it? Monday morning. The very first time you can't eat it anymore. Monday morning you can't eat, that's when you burn it. So one would think by shlamim as well. Afkan tekef l'achila shreifa. Right after you can no longer eat the shlamim, you should burn it. So by shlamim, you eat it Sunday night, Monday. You can't eat it Monday night. So one might think Monday night is when you should burn the shlamim. Tamalomer about noser mibasar hazevach b'yom ha-shlishi b'eish yisarif. That the pasuk says the daytime of the third, not night, but b'yom ha-shlishi you should burn it. B'yom ha-tasarif v'yatasarif b'layla. You don't burn a night, you don't burn Monday night, rather you burn Tuesday. So that's the whole discussion of the Braisa. But what we learned from this Braisa is, right in the beginning it said, Nechal or L'shlishi. One might have thought you should eat the night of the third day, the night of Monday night into Tuesday. So Gemara says, Midakamar Yehei Nechal or L'shlishi, Alma or Sahu Shmamina. We learn again from this Braisa that certainly the word or refers to nighttime. The Gemara now brings two more Rayas. Tashma. Or shall Yom HaKippurim, so we're talking about now Yom Kippur, we daven multiple times Yom Kippur, and each of the Shemoneh Esrei we say Vidui. So Gemara says, or shall Yom HaKippurim, the night of Yom Kippur, it's clear this is referring to Mariv, leading into Yom Kippur, so Mispal Sheva, seven brachos, u'misvada, you do Vidui. Shachris, Mispal Sheva, misvada. B'mosav, Mispal Sheva, misvada. B'mincha, Mispal Sheva, misvada. And so that's all true. And then by Arvis of Matzah Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, Ba'arvis mispal me'ein shmon asar. You have to have some type of abridged version of shmon asar, of a havinenu of some sort. And Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel argues that no, the Marv of Matzah Yom Kippur, you actually omer mishum avosav, quoting from his father's, mispal shmon asar shlemis. You need full 18, 19 brachos of shmon asar. Why? You need to say Atachon Antanu in Motzi Yom Kippur. So that's a machlokis, again, a side point of what exactly is the Shmona Esrei of Motzi Yom Kippur. Of course, you pass in like Rabbi Chanina, you have a full Shmona Esrei. But we see from here that the beginning of the Brayis, he says, Or Shiyum HaKippurim is clearly referring to the nighttime Leil Yom Kippur, Alma again, Or Sahu Shmamina. And finally, a fourth and final proof that Or really means nighttime is from the following. Tashma, we have a Brayis. It says, the Tani Rabbi Shmuel, Lele Arbaasar Bodkin as a Chametz Leor Haner. This is a very clear Braisa telling us when do we do Bedikas Chametz, not as if we didn't know this already, but still, it says night of Arbaasar. So by the equation, so we're assuming the halacha is the same, so our mission when it says Or L'Arbaasar is the same din as when Rabbi Shmuel, that Beishmuel says Lele Arbaasar, so we can now equate the word Or Talayla, and that really finalizes that proof here, Alma or Orsu. So really, or refers to the nighttime. So then the Gemara says, okay, if it really refers to the nighttime, we have to go back to what exactly was Machlokas in the beginning of the Masechta, when Rav Huna says or was Nage, Rav Huda says or was Lele. So how could Rav Huna even suggest that or refers to daytime if we just brought out eight different sources in Brises that or clearly means light nighttime? So how could Rav Huna suggest Nage refers to daytime? So the Gemara says, no, the truth is, Ella, Bain Rav Huna, Bain Rav Yehuda, Chuliyama or Orsu. Nobody can test this. Everybody agrees that or certainly refers to nighttime, even Rav Huna. So what exactly is the machlokus? For lo pligi, mar ki asrei, that they refer to Laila in different ways. Rav Huna, when he said nage, he wasn't referring to daytime. They called nighttime nage in his place. The Rav Huna kari nagi, ubaasu de Rav Yehuda kari Laila. They had different ways to refer to nighttime, but they all agreed that nighttime referred to nighttime. It was just that one person called it nagi, one person called it Laila. We have this actually interesting machlokus, mar ki asrei, in many, many different places. The Masoret HaShas refers to a few of them. One interesting one I like to say, that because it comes up, halach lemaisa, the Gemara in Yuma talks about when you, Kohen Gadol sprinkles the blood, achas b'shayim. So that's one opinion how we paskin, but there's another opinion. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda says you do achas, shnayim achas, shlosh v'achas. You do the opposite direction. First you say the three, and then the one, the four, the one, the five, the one. What Rav Yossi says, it says 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4. Just different order of helping to keep count. What's the relevance of that? So the interesting magen of Ram when it comes to counting Sfiras Omer. How does one count Sfiras Omer? So if you and I to count when it comes to in English, we would say tonight's the 42nd night. And in Hebrew, we'd also say the 42nd night. We say arba mishnayim yom b'omer. So why, when you count, if you look in the Siddur, we actually say shnayim varbam. We say 2 and 40. That's not the right way. So Rav Shecht actually points out, he says, according to what we're doing, we really should be going mar ki asrei. You should really count the way you count in your location, which is it should really be arbam ushnayim. It should be the correct way. The Maisa, we don't do that, but that comes out from this interesting machlokes, that they have different ways of counting, different ways to refer to times, different ways that in different communities doesn't necessarily mean a machlokes, but sometimes it does actually turn into a nafkamina. The Gemara now says, halfway down the medium wide lines down here in Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, V'tane didan, my time alokatani lele. So why didn't they say lele? So why couldn't the Mishnah be very clear and say or? Why'd it have to confuse us, spend a blot and a half on what the word or means? Just say lila. We'd all know that lila means night. And the Gemara says, Lishna ma'al Yehudinak. The Chazal wanted to use a Lishna ma'alya, a clearer type of a word, a better word, as the Gemara goes on to explain. Ukid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Damar Yeshua ben Levi, Li'olam al Yotze Adam Davar Muguna Mepiv. A person should not say something disgusting from his mouth. Shere Okam Hakasav Shmona Osios, Velo Hotzi Davar Muguna Mepiv. The Torah, Okam, means that circumvented, went out of its way to say extra letters to avoid saying something bad in the Torah. How do we know? Shenemar min ha-behema Torah u min ha-behema she'enenu Torah. The Pasuk should really have said u min ha-behema temeya. Why did it say min ha-behema she'enenu Torah? That was not Torah. That's a roundabout way of saying it's a tummy animal, because sometimes the Pasuk will sometimes try to avoid a davar tummy, davar maguna, and say extra letters. Now, of course, there are many places where the word tummy is used, and the Gemara is going to address it, but from the mere fact that a few places in the Chumash we see that they did go out of their way to avoid saying a davar maguna, that's a very important issue. So when a person speaks, he should be very, very careful how to choose his words. We're going to see a number of interesting stories in Rambam Beis about this, but here as well. Apparently, the word lila was not the preferable word. Now, it's nothing wrong with lila. It's not maguna. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi says, five Y lines down, Rashi says, my time lo tani lele, kidatani de beishmo, nishmuo. Umishane alishim alya kamahadir. The Chazal tried to use a better, a pure, a clear type of language. Shemitza vederech nikia das le sapir belashin nikia. The Chazal like to use a clear language. Davar maguna, lav mishim de lele davar maguna. Let's be clear. The word nighttime is not davar maguna. It's nothing wrong. It's not like a davar tame is maybe davar maguna, but not lila. He was talking about in general that one should carefully choose his words. So apparently the word or is a nicer language than lila. Nothing wrong with the word lila. But they felt that was a pure way to speak. You know, like a rav who has really refined his midos, he'll never say the word hate. Said, I dislike something, or maybe I don't love this. But you try to be careful how to choose your words. So even though lila and or, not really, neither one are really davar maguna, it's just a lesson we want to learn from this particular Mishnah. Now, the Maral famously says that anytime you find it in a Gadata, in a particular Masechta, there's a reason. It's not just randomly there. So why does this whole Masechta begin with Davar Maguna, Hada Tameh, Laila? Or the reason is because Pesachim is all predicated on the word Pesach is Pesach. The Arizal tells us that Pesach, the way it speaks, the way a person speaks, and in Mitzrayim, the Peh was Begalus, it was in exile. We didn't know how to speak properly, so Pesach is a redemption of the mouth, how to speak properly. So that's why there's a big emphasis on Davar Maguna right here in the beginning. Now, even though the word Or and Laila are not really Davar Maguna, they use this as really a springboard to discuss this topic of how to speak properly. So the Gemara now goes on to bring a number of psukim, how the Gemara kind of avoided the word Tameh and used extra letters, extra words, to speak in a proper way. So that was the first proof, again, we had, that Sharei Akama Kasav Shmona Osios V'lo Hotzi Davar Maguna Mepiv Shenemar Mina Behema Torah U'mina Behema She'ei Nenu Torah. Now, the Gemara brings another raya. Rav Papa Amar Teisha. They actually circumvented an extra 9 extra letters, not 8, but 9 extra letters. Shenemar Kiyeh Becha Isha She'lo Yeh Tahor Mikre Lai, the person who is not Tahor, which really means he's Tameh. So I don't want to go through the whole calculation, but Rashi points out how you have 9 letters there that were extra letters to avoid a Davar Maguna. Ravina Amar Eser, they're actually 10, because Vav the Tar, the word Tar is spelled with an extra Vav, so that actually 10 extra letters the Tar used to avoid a Davar Maguna. And Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Sheshe, so they're actually 16 letters we have. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Ki Amar Mikre, who built the Torah, who kilo Torah. He is not Torah, but he's not Torah. Those are 16 extra letters to avoid saying a word Tameh. So that's the cloud. A person has to use his words carefully, not to say a Davar Maguna. So Gemara now says, Tani Debei Rabbi Shmo. The Olam Yisapir Adam Belashin Naki, a person should also always speak in a proper way, in a clean way. Sharein Bezav, Bezav Karu Mirkav, Ubeisha Karu Moshev. Without getting involved in the details of when a Zav or Zava sits on an animal, but it has to relate to certain tumma that transfers over to the animal, or really to the saddle that the person's sitting on. But the Torah says when a man, a Zav, whose Tame rides, the Lashon of Mirkav is used. He's riding an animal. But Isha, they call it Moshev, she's sitting. Why? Because a derech a woman, when she sits on an animal, she doesn't sit with her legs open. That's inappropriate for her to sit. It's inappropriate to talk in such a way. So she sits with her legs over to the side, both on the same side. So she's sitting as opposed to riding the animal. So that's a lashon to use. You should use lashon, even though a woman's called riding, really called riding. When she's sitting on a horse, no matter how she sits, it's still riding a horse. But he chose the lashon of Moshev to indicate so a person shouldn't have any bad thoughts. So that's a clean way to speak. So the Gemara says another proof that one should choose his language wisely and lashon nekiyah. V'omer, it says in the pasuk, this pasuk appears in Iyov, v'tivchor lashon arumim. Arumim is referring to, it's appropriate for this week's parsha of Lavan. Lavan was a big trickster, but Chachamim also were known to be very wise. So arum also means the words of Chachamim. Tivchar lashon arumim, choose wisely the language of Chachamim. The Chachamim used that chose their language wisely. V'omer, yet a third pasuk, this pasuk appears in Iyov as well. It says, V'das sifse barar milalu milelus, to speak. That word, a person should use a language that's clear. So why do you need 3 psukim to all teach the same point of lashon nekiyah? So Gemara says, Mai va'omer, why is there omer, there are multiple psukim all proving the same point? V'chitem, if you're going to tell me, hani mila b'derai, so maybe on the Torah level, as it says of Moshe v'mirkav, only then does the Torah use lashon nekiyah about b'derban and lo, but maybe by the words of the Chachamim, they don't have to choose lashon nekiyah. Toshma, it says in the pasuk of Iyov, v'omer v'tivchar lashon arumim. The language of the arumim, the language of Chachamim, also have to be chosen wisely, lashon nekiyah. V'chitem, if you're going to tell me hani mila b'derban, maybe that's only when the rabbis speak. About b'mil da'alma, people who speak in general just by conversation, maybe lo, they would not have to be so machbid on lashon nekiyah. V'omer v'das sifse bar milelo, that a person should always choose all types of languages, all types of conversations and speech should be v'das sifse bar, a clean and clear language. So Gemara says, u'b'isha loksiv b'mirkav, so we said above, it never says by women that they ride. It's not a lashon nekiyah. They're Yoshev. They sit on a camel, they sit on a donkey, they sit on a horse, but they only use the Lashon of Mirkav. The Gemara says, really? We never have the Lashon of Mirkav by an Isha? V'aksiv doesn't say, V'atakum Rivka, Rimna Arseha, V'atikavna, like a Malim, that Rivka and her assistants, or her the girls who were helping out, they all rode on a camel, so Lashon Tirkavna is used by women. Hasa Mishim Bisusa, because a camel is much higher up than a donkey, and therefore, women are scared to ride high on a camel if they were to sit both legs on the same side. They might slip off. So even though by riding a donkey, they would sit with the legs off to one side, and they would only be Yoshev on the donkey by a gomal, they'd actually be Rochev. They'd actually ride the animal, and therefore, it is appropriate to use the word Rochev, because that's actually what happened. So then it says, okay. Hasamishim b'yisusa degmalim. Orchu, it's the derech of women to ride even a camel. The Haksiv doesn't say Vayikach Moshe's Ishov as Barna Vayikivim ala Chamor, but it says that Moshe took his wife Tzipora along with the children, and they all rode on a donkey. So we see that even Tzipora was riding on a donkey. She didn't put her legs to the side. So the Gemara says Hasa Mishum over there, going on to Amud Beis now, Mishum Banav Orchu, because it didn't describe Tzipora alone as riding the donkey, but also described his sons. So Lashem V'Tirkavna was including all of them, even though by Tzipora she wasn't riding, but it was better than having to say that one was being Moshe, one was being Mirkov, so they use the word V'Tirkav in that case. Haksiv doesn't say by Avigail, and says in the Pasuk in Tanakh, V'hi Rocheves ala Chamor, that she was riding on a donkey. So we see Rocheves does apply even to a Chamor, not only to a Gamal. Hasam Mishum Bisusa Delaila Urchahu. It was nighttime. So at nighttime, women have to sit, they have to ride on a donkey because that's already scary at nighttime. She could slip, the donkey could slip. So Balaila, it is Urcha to ride a donkey. Alternatively, Ibai Zema, Mishum Bisusa Delaila Leka, Mishum Bisusa De Davidika. She wasn't scared of Balaila, but David HaMelech was in her presence, and the Amos HaMelech was there because she's scared of David HaMelech. She had to ride the donkey, hold on tightly. Ibai Zema, yet a third suggestion why Abigail was riding a donkey. Bisusa de David Amilaki, she was not scared of the presence of David, but Mishim Bisusa de Harika, who's going up or down a mountain because she was scared of that. Those are three different explanations why it says Vahid Rechavis al Chamor. But in general, the women don't ride a donkey, and therefore the Pasuk does not use Rocheva, but by a Gamal, women do ride on a Gamal, and therefore the word Rochevis would be used. So Gemara now says, we said a point which I'm sure you're all bothered by in Amun Aleph, that the Torah circumvents the word Tameh to say the word Eino Torah. We have many times the word Tameh is used, much more than the Pasuk says Eino Tahor. So the Gemara asks this question, Ubaraisa, mi lo ksiv Tameh? Does it never say the word Tameh in the Torah? Of course it does, many times. Ela, kol heicha dechiyadade ninu, mishtoi belasha nekiya. So whenever they're equal, meaning you have two options, there's a Tameh route and a Tahor route. You could use a language that's going to be Davar Maguna, and a language that'll be Lashon Nekiya. If they're both equal length, we always choose the Lashon Nekiya. I mean, let's say it would have been three words for Tameh, and Tahor, three words as well. So we'd opt for the Tahor, because that's Lashon Nekiya. We would avoid Davar Maguna. However, we'll look at Rashi to put this together. However, Heicha D'Nafishin Mili, whenever using longer words would be more, Mishtai B'Lashon Kitzara. Let's say the options are Tameh versus Eino Tahor. Eino Tahor is much longer than Tameh, so then we actually prefer the shorter route. The shorter route, because we're going to learn a din, we'll learn a Rashi, it's much easier to remember shorter things than it's to remember longer things. So when all things are equal, we choose Lashon Nekiya. But when it's Ktsara versus Aruka, long versus short, we opt for the shorter one, even though it might be a Davar Maguna. Look at Rashi. Rashi says two lines down from the top, V'chol Heicha V'chulub, the honey de la'el, ikum, how come above, we circumvented eight letters, that goes against this whole rule, just to teach you this lesson, meaning what? The Torah above was ikim l'lamedcha to teach me shetzorech l'chazer acha lashon naki. We have to try to look for lashon nakiya. That's certainly true. Ubisharma comes outside of those three examples we had in Amun Aleph. Every other example, kasa lashon maguna, because we actually prefer the shorter route, even though it's a davar maguna. L'lamedcha sheyeshna adam l'tamido lashon k'sara. Sheyeshna adam l'tamido lashon k'sara. When a person teaches his Talmud, he should teach the derech k'sara. So if you're too long, you're too verbose, the Talmidim are going to get lost, they're going to get bored, they're going to lose patience, they're not going to pay attention. Be very short, to the point. It's much easier to remember shorter than it is to remember longer. The Mishnayos, for example, were memorized one point in history, and the easier way to remember, if the Mishnayos were so long, you couldn't memorize. Obviously, the shorter something is, the more jam-packed, it's easier to remember something. It's a great time to discuss Zichru. I know a number of you jumped on the Zichru program. I highly recommend it. Zichru is a great program to help memorize all the daf. And give it a 14-day trial. I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing. Moshe Pilevsky has been pushing it. I've tried it for brachos, and you know all of brachos, three major points in every single daf by a little story. I highly recommend it. Either way, it's very short of each daf, 3 points. This is the exact point of the Gemara here. Lashon Ktara, if you want, I'll send you the information for it. By Lashon Ktara, 3 major points with a little story. You remember every single daf. After 120 daf of Maseches Pesachim, you remember all of it in just like a few moments. You get Chazer and Chasana, the entire Masechta. Okay, either way, we see from here that when things are equal, when the two options are equal, the same length, we choose Lashon Nekiya. When one option is Lashon Ktara and Lashon Arucha, one's longer, we always choose the shorter one, even if that shorter version is a Davar Maguna. So the Gemara now says, back inside, Kedama Rav Huna Amar Rav, Amri la, others say, Amr Rav Huna, Amr Rav, Mishum Rabbi Meir, the Olam Yishana Adam Latamido Derech Katari. You should always teach your Talmud in a short, in the abridged version. V'chalhecha, fine. So that's the klal. V'chalhecha d'chi hadadei ninu mishar b'lashin kavod. Is it really true? Whenever both options you have, the Davar Maguna route versus Lashon Akia, we always opt for the Lashon Kavod, the Lashon Akia. V'aro cheves v'yosheves d'chi hadadei ninu. The word Yocheves and the word Yocheves are the same exact words, the same exact length rather, and yet Kamar Rocheves. We choose the word Rocheves even though we could have chosen the word Yocheves, the same exact length. So shouldn't we choose Yocheves over Rocheves? And the Gemara says Rocheves, if it's written without the Vav, it's Racheves written. So therefore, since that's four letters and Yocheves is five letters, we opt for the four letter route even though it's a Davar Maguna. We use Lashon Ketara even though it's a Davar Maguna. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi points out, well, couldn't you use the word Yosheves without a Vav as well? Why don't you write Yosheves without a Vav? It'll be four letters as well. So Rashi and Tosafot both say, you can't just take away letters just like that. There has to be a reason to take away a letter. So if you look at Rashi, Yocheves, two narrow lines down, he says, Ksiv, Yafagav, the Matzil, Mechta, Venami, Yosheves, Chaser. You could have written the word Yosheves without the Vav. Miyukol, Chaseros, Shebetorod, Lidrosh, Hein, Bab. Every time there's a missing letter, it's for a drasha. You can't just take away a letter just because you want to. V'kan, Lemedcha, So we learn from the word Rocheves, why is there no Vav in the word Rocheves? To teach you this klal, that we opt for the shorter word, even if it's a Davar Maguna. That's the klal here. So these are two competing points here. Again, number one is you have to always keep in mind Lashon Nekiyah. Number two is Lashon Ketara. Those are both important points when teaching. When teaching a Talmidim. Now when the two clash, when one's Davar Maguna, which you want to avoid, but at the same time it's also Lashon Ketara, the Gemara says we opt for Lashon Ketara, even though it's going to also be a Davar Maguna. The Gemara is now going to give a few different stories of people using Lashon Maguna. The Gemara says, Hanu, Tre Tamide Dahavi Yasri Kame de Rav. There are two Tamidim sitting in front of Rav. Chad Amar Shvisin Hai Shmaisa Kedavar Acher, Misankan. Apparently the Rebbe was teaching him a very, very complex sugya. And after a lot of amelis in Yegia, they finally chopped it. And the first time we said, that's like a davar acher. What's davar acher? That's like a chazer. That's like a pig. It was so hard to understand that. It was as hard as a chazer. We'll see what the Chassam Sofer explains what that means exactly. V'chad amar shvisi hai shmaisa ki gedi misankan. No, it's like a tired gedi, like a tired goat. So that was the difference. So v'lo ishtai rab b'hadei dahayach. The one who used the chazer as the model, the mushel, he didn't pay attention to him. He ignored him. Why would you opt for the chazer as opposed to the gedi? Saying that this was so tiring like the tired pig, or this is so tiring like a tired gedi. So obviously the one who used the gedi was Lashon Nekiyah. Why would you say the word chazer, and therefore he's upset? And this is an example of using Lashon Nekiyah versus Davar Maguna.
Now, the 30 days.
For 30, okay, good, but yeah. So it says the Chassam Sofer explains here, the truth is the Talmud who says chazer was actually not so bad. Davar Acher was not so bad. What he was saying was Chassam Sofer, the chazer is unique. The chazer, why is it called the chazer? According to some midrashim, the chazer is going to be chozer leheterim. Las lavo, the chazer is going to be permitted to be eaten. You can eat a chazer in the times of Mashiach, according to one midrash. So a chazer was just like this sugi was so hard, and you flipped it around to explain it to me, the chazer is usher, it will be flipped around to be davar tahor, it will be kosher. So Chassam Sofer said he had good intention, but yet nonetheless, it's still inappropriate to use the word chazer. That's not how a person speaks, so we see how careful one should choose his words. Gemara now says further, Hani Trey Tamidi Dehavi Yasri Kami Dehilo. There are two Tamidim sitting in front of Hilo. The Chabi Nai, one of them was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Amrile, others say Kami De Rebbe, they're sitting in front of Rebbe. The Chabi Nai, one of the Tamidim was Rebbe Yochanan. So when they're discussing a sugya, Chad Amar Mipnei Ma Botzin Betara Vein Moskin Betara. Botzer is when comes to the press of the grapes, and Moskin when you're pressing olives. Now we discussed in the past that when you food to become tame has to come into contact with one of the seven liquids. So if an apple were to become tame, so it has to first come into contact with water, for example, and then if I touch it, the apple will become tame. If the apple does not come into contact with water, then I can't be metame it, even if I'm tame mace. It has to be huchsha first. Now olive oil and wine are both examples of two of the seven mashkim. So when a person presses olives, there's olive oil. When a person presses grapes, there's grapes. There's a grape juice, rather. So now, the din is, how come when it comes to mipnei ma boats and betara, when it comes to pressing grapes, rather, we have to be tahor. Because all the grape juice that comes out is actually machshir the grapes. If I'm tameh, and the grape juice comes out, now all the grapes are tameh. So I have to make sure I'm tahor. When it comes to pressing olives, the olive oil that comes out at that point is not considered olive oil, just considered just the watery juices. It's not olive oil. And I don't have to be Torah. I can be Tameh. Because when I press the olives, the initial olive oil is not considered a drink at that point, a mashke at that point. Now Rashi explained a little bit why that is. But the question was, Chad amar mipnei ma botzim betara, v'ein moskim betara. And the other one asked the question, v'chad amar mipnei ma botzim betara, u'moskim betumah. So they one asked the question of ein tara, and one asked the question of betumah. Same exact question, but they use a different language. So amar, so afterwards, muftach ani bezer, I'm certain that this one, shemora hara, will be a mora hara b'Yisrael. We don't know which one it is yet. Was the one who said ein moskin betara, or was the one who said moskin betuma? One of them is going to be a mora hara b'Yisrael. Not many days passed, Hara b'Yisrael, and he became taka, he became mor hara, he became a big rav, a big posek for the yidden. So there's a big machlokas in the Rishon, which one was the guy who said mipnei ma ein moskim betara, or was the one who said moskim betuma? Because on one hand, you guy moskim betuma is a shorter version. Ein moskim betara is the one lashon nakia. So there's a debate amongst Rishon which one was the one who's referring to. But either way, someone was speaking in the right way. Pashup shot is referring to the one who says lashon moskim betuma. Because that's Lashon Tzara, as we said above. That's Pashup Shad in the Gemara. The Gemara now says, Hanu Trey, we did that one already, Hani Tlase Kohanim. So there are three Kohanim that were sitting and eating. Hani Tlase Kohanim, Chadamar Lehu Higyani Kipu, that referring to Rashi says they're giving out the Lechem upon him. One says he received a little piece of Lechem upon him that was the size of a bean. Chadamar Higyani Kezais, I had a Kezais size of a Lechem upon him. The Chad Amar Higyani Kizan of Hatla, like the tail of some type of sheret of some sort. So Badku Achrav, so a very strange way to describe Lechem upon him. They describe the tail of whatever this lizard is. So Matsu, they did a little research on this guy. Umatsu Bo Shemich Pasul, it turns out the guy was a Pasul person. Rashi says he was a Chala, and that's why he spoke in such a way. When the way a person speaks, you could be Megalo, the essence of the person. So they did some research, and Taka, he was a Chala. Gemara says, wait a second. Vatanya Ain Botkin Minam Ezbech Lamala. Once you have a Kohen who serves on in the base of Migdash, he's allowed to work in the Mizbeach, that means he has Yichas. We don't check, we don't inspect. Once he comes to the base of Migdash and he does the Avodah, we don't inspect here. So how come we could go ahead and do some research who the guy was? We shouldn't look in his Yichas. Once he's working here, we don't look, we turn away, and we just trust him. So Gemara says, Lo Tema Shemetz Pasol, not that he was a Pasol as a Chalal, Ela Ema Shechas Pasol, which Rashi says he was a Baal Gaiva. He didn't have anything in his Yichas that was Pasol, but he has his Midos that were wrong. Hey, bad midos, but his yichas was still fine. We're not going to question a person's yichas just because he spoke in such a way. Once a person ain botkim demizbeach ulamala, once a guy works in the base of Migdash, we don't question his yichas at that point. Alternatively, ibaisema shiny hasam the ihu dari nafshi. Normally we don't, but when the guy speaks in such a way, that's a reyasa. That's a indication that there's something bad in his yichas, and that's why we inspected. And in a regular case, we never would inspect the Kohen's yichas. But in this case, we would. Take a look at Tosis for a second. Actually, not that one yet. Fine. So some interesting questions come from this point here. The Tosis Yishanim says, how is it possible that they had less than a kazayas? Right? One person said here, one of the Kohanim said he ate a pool. Who was less than a kazayas? Whenever there's a mitzvah achila, you always have to have a kazayis. How come the pool, that was enough to have the mitzvah achilas lechem upon him? So the answer that's suggested by the Avnei Nezer and the Beis Halevi, they say that when it comes to eating matzah with a ma'isa achila, so you need a kazayis. Achila of marah, you need a kazayis. When it comes to eating of lechem upon him and other karbanos, it's not about a ma'isa achila. It's that the chefza must be eaten. Not that I'm getting a mitzvah. Not that I need to eat it. It must be eaten. So if 100 quantum eat it and it gets eaten, we fulfill the mitzvah. But there is no requirement that I have to actually eat nachila. I can just participate with it, making sure it gets eaten. Now, that's a suggestion of the Beis Halevi and others. Now, the Rami Sada says it's actually a unique din when it comes to lechem upanim, that lechem upanim, the Gemara tells us, when a person eats even a tiny bit, he'll get full. He'll get satisfied. So even though normally by eating matzah or marah or anything else, you need a kazayas to get that satisfaction of being full, lechem upanim was unique, that even a tiny amount of bread will give you that satisfaction, and that will accomplish what's normally ma'isa achila. You could accomplish the same exact thing when it comes to a small pool size of a lechem upanim. Gemara now says further, Hahu, very interesting ma'isa now, Hahu, aramah, Davi Salik v'achel psachem b'Yushalayim. There's a certain Arami who went up, a non-Jew, who went up to eat the Karban Pesach in Yushalayim. Amar Ksivit says, he started making fun, kol b'necha lo yochal bo, any b'necha, non-Jew, can't eat the Karban Pesach. Kol ara lo yochaba, a person who's ariel can't eat it either. V'ana hakachilna, and I was able to do it, and I ate mishifur shufra, I ate from the best of the best. I was able to eat from the karbanos. Now, so Tosis points out here, v'ana achilna mishufra de shufra. Why didn't they inspect who he was? Why didn't they, you don't just give a karban pesach, you need to have like a guest list. So how come the guy just showed up and ate his karban pesach? Tosis says, mikan, from here we learn, ein raya sheneman l'chol habalafenenu romer yisrael ani. Any guy who says, I'm a Jew, we can't prove here that we trust him. This Arami, no one knew who he was. I said, I'm Jewish. Oh, he's Jewish? Okay, give him the Karban Pesach. Don't bring me a raya from this case that you could trust any person who says he's a Yid, he's a Yid. Because this case was different. The Shani Hacha, the Rov Yisrael Hayu, Vazin and Basaruba. In a case where there's Rov, saying Rov, we have to follow the Rov. In a case where you have a place where Rov are not Jews, we don't know if you could trust the guy just because he shows up. So this must have been a case where Rov, the people were Yisrael, and that's why we trust the guy when he said he was a Jew. After the Karban Pesach, he started laughing and say, ha, I ate from your Karban Pesach. I tricked you guys. It says, Ko benecha lo yochal, ko ari lo yochal, and I ate from your Karban Pesach. So Amar le Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, he says, Mika safala me'alya. Did they give you from the tail of the Karban Pesach? You didn't taste the tail, did you? That's the best. Amar le lo, I didn't get from the tail. Ko kisalkas lahasam, when he went, so he says, when you get back there, emelhu safali me'alya. Go tell them, when you get back to the Beis HaMikdash, go tell them that you want to eat from the elya. Ko kisalak, when he went back to the base of Mikdash to get some more Karban Pesach, Amar lehu me'elya safile, give me some of the tail. Amar lehu elya legavol salka. The tail doesn't get eaten. We don't eat it. That goes to the Kadosh Baruch. That's the Mizbeach. Legavol salka. Amar lehu man amar lecha. Who told you this? Who suggested that you should eat from the elya? Amar lehu Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir amu. He told us. The great tzaddik Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir suggested, I tell you, they asked for the elya. So my hide, they said, wait a second. This guy was told by Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir to eat from the elya. Something's off here. They did a little research. The Kaman, my high, the Kaman, who's this guy in front of us who's asking for the tail? Bartku Basra, they did a little research, and Vashkechu Daramahu, they found that he was actually a guy. Va'akatlu, they killed him. They understood this was a message of Yehuda ben Beseir, set him up, and they killed him. So Shalchulei, the Yehuda ben Beseir, they sent a message to Yehuda ben Beseir, Shalom lecha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, you're in peace, that ben Nitzvan, you are standing in Nitzvan, which is outside Eretz Yisrael, and you set a trap up for the guy in Yerushalayim, and we killed him, we took care of him, no concern at all, he's done with. Excellent, great. So now the interesting Shiloh that Rav David Pivarsky asks the question, he says, wait a second, why couldn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir kill him? Why do you have to send him to Yerushalayim to kill him? So one suggestion is maybe just, but Metzias, Bava was dangerous, he couldn't. And Eretz Yisrael, they had the ability, there's no concern of killing people. Or he said, maybe the suggestion is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir didn't have any edus. You have to kill based on edus. You need to say, even a goy, ben Noach, you can't just kill a ben Noach for no reason. You have to have edus. Now, the edus doesn't require to aid him. But if there's one aid, so one aid who testifies that ben Noach did something wrong, you could go based on that testimony. But this ben Noach just admitted it was hodas piv. He admitted on his own that he ate from the Karban Pesach, but there's no actual edus that was there. So maybe that was the concern why Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir couldn't do it. But when he went to Yerushalayim, and Adam said, they heard him testify that he wanted to eat from the Karban Pesach, that was already grounds to kill him. That was the suggestion Rav David Pivarsky says. Now the Minchas Chinuch says, actually, it's an interesting din, that Noach actually can be killed based on Hodas Piv. If he admits to doing something wrong, he admits that he killed somebody, he admits he stole, he admits he was involved in the riots, we would actually kill Ben Noach based on his own testimony. Even though you need Eidus, Hodas Piv for Ben Noach is considered Eidus. Now Minchas Chinuch says, even though there's no Mefurish Gemara that supports this, he does think that this actually would be true, and Ben Noach, based on Hodas Piv, he can kill. So really, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir could have killed Ben Noach, based on his Hadas Piv, but I guess it must have been a question of a Metzias. He didn't have the ability, the wherewithal to do so, living in Bavel. He had to set him up to be trapped in Yerushalayim. So now we go a little further now. The Gemara says, so I look at Tosafot, one Tosafot before we go. What time is it? We're good. Just do one quick Tosafot, very interesting Tosafot here. Tosafot says the following. He says, how come Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, why wasn't he in Yerushalayim? Why didn't he do the Karban Pesach? It was Erev Pesach. He sent the Nachri to go get Karban Pesach, and he was killed. So where was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir? He stayed in Tzivim. Why wasn't he gone? So Tosafot says here, look at Tosafot, Me'elya, Mikasafu Lachal, go down three lines down. The Gemara Tosafot says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, Shelo Ala L'Rego, why didn't he not go L'Ali L'Rego? Yeshomer Shelo Haya Karka, he didn't have any Karka. One of the requirements of going to Ali L'Rego is you need land. If you don't have land, you're Pater. Whatever, that's a Sugin Chagiga. He didn't have any Karka, Oh, perhaps Zakin Hayahu is too old. Shena Yachal Lahalich Biragli couldn't walk. The Pata Mipesach Kimo Re'iyah. Just like your Pater from going a Lila Rego when a guy is too old, so too your Pater from the Karim Pesach when a person is too old. Or Inami Nitzavim Chutzarts, he was in Chutzarts. In Chutzarts, your Pater is considered Derech Rechoka. A guy who's Derech Rechoka is Pater from Karim Pesach. And it gets into a whole conversation here. Well, just because you live in America, so you shouldn't go to New Karim Pesach and Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, of course you should go. So the question then, how far does a person have to go to perform a mitzvah in general? And based on this Tosa, some say, you don't have to go so far. If you live in Chutzart, there is no requirement to go perform the Karim Pesach. Others find that very, very hard to imagine. Okay, let's finish the daf now. The Gemara says, last two narrow lines, the Gemara says, Rav Kana Chalish, one time Rav Kana was a week, and Shadru Rabbanu Rabbi Shua Brei, Dirav, Idi, they sent Rabbi Shua to go check on him. Amrilei Zil Bada, go check my dina. What's exactly the status? What's the status of Rav Kana? He went to check. Also Ashkei Denach Nafshei. Turns out he had passed away. So Kari LeLevushei. So Rav Yeshua tore his clothing. VaHadrei LeKari LaAchorei and turned the tear to the back. He turned around his shirt so you couldn't really see it. And then Ubachi started to cry. Also Amrilei Lenach Nafshei. They asked him, did he die? Because they see he's crying. They see his garment is torn in the back. Did he die? I'm not going to tell you. It says in the Pasuk of Mishlei, "Umotzi diba hu chsil," one who speaks in a bad way, basur ra. We don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I'm not going to say anything. Okay, so he didn't say, but it was understood. It was clear that he must have passed away. Yochanan Chakoka Nafik Lekriyasa. Yochanan Chakoka was named based on his being a sofer. Rashi points, and Tosa says he was some type of sofer. He went to the village to see what was the status of the grains. Kiyasa Amrulei, when he came back to the city after inspecting the field, they said to him, "So chita nasa yafos, are the wheat good? Tell me what's the status of the wheat? Are they growing nicely?" Lemmy says, "Sorim nasa yafos, the barley is very nice," implying that the wheat are not nice. But he didn't want to say a basur ra. The sorim nasa yafos. Amrulei say uvaser lasusim lechamarim. Go tell the horses and donkeys. I don't care about the barley. We don't eat barley. What do you tell me about barley for? Dichsev vasorim vateren lasusim lerechash. They're for the animals. Don't tell me about the barley. So my havalei lemeimer, what should he have said? Now he didn't want to say chitim or rals. So what would have been the better option to speak? He should have said ishtake the next year nasu chitim yafos. He should have said next. He said last year the wheat were good. So at least you're talking about the world of Michael Adam. Last year they're better, but don't talk about this year bad. Or he could have said inami adashim and asu yafos. The lentils are good, and they would infer from that the wheat were not good. Okay, we'll stop here. Mirza Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.